Ezekiel chapter 8, we'll be taking our text from. I'm going to read all 18 verses of this. There's 18 verses in chapter 8. I want to read them all. It's kind of long, so you can just remain seated. In this story we see of Ezekiel and this vision, and it's a different vision than anything else you're going to find in the Bible. Very interesting. Ezekiel chapter 8, let's start there at verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshipped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence, and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm asking now that you help us for just a little bit to be able to preach on this text, God, and this subject we've got prepared tonight. Lord, we most of all want to know that you're going to receive any glory that's taking place here tonight. Lord, keep me hidden out of the way and out of the flesh. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Ezekiel chapter 8. That's an interesting chapter. I've preached on this before. But as I'm continuing through this theme that we're going through of looking at false religions and cults and things like that, 3 weeks ago, we looked in God's words concerning Christians celebrating Halloween. Halloween comes up tomorrow, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, and I'm fine with that. I believe the Bible agrees, and so that's all I care about. But we determined that any type of Halloween celebration is something that God would call evil. Everything that we see in that's represented in Halloween and the way it is now is evil, according to God. It's darkness. There's no place for darkness in children of the light. The Bible tells us we're children of the day, not children of the night. We are of the light of Christ. We're not of the darkness of Satan. And then last week we looked in the Word of God and saw what he thought about witches and witchcraft. Lots of interesting things there. We determined that any form of witchcraft in God's eyes considered an abomination and is evil. A Christian has no business dressing up like a witch, pretending to be a witch, or enjoying the things of witches. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to continue looking in the Word of God concerning yet another subject that a lot of people seem to be curious about. We all have our thoughts about what this is. Satanism is what we're talking about tonight, the subject of Satanism, those that practice that. And we immediately, when you hear somebody is a Satanist, well, you have all kinds of thoughts come up in your mind. You can conjure up visions of people, you know, sacrificing animals or people or drinking blood or all kinds of things like that. That's what we always think of when we think of things like this, the most grotesque things you could ever imagine. Well, in our opening text here, the prophet Ezekiel, he's relaying a vision that was given him by God. Now, it's hard to understand at the beginning of it if this actually occurred, if God actually picked him up by the hair of the head and took him to that temple, or whether it was all in a vision that he saw. It's really difficult to understand that. But nevertheless, it's something that God had showed him. So whether it was he actually took him to the temple and all that was going on, or whether he did it through a vision, it's the same difference. God was trying to show him what's going on in his house. Well, the Lord has several things he wants to show him. And he points them out one by one, beginning with the entrance of the temple. If you notice that there at the beginning of the temple and the entrance, Ezekiel looks up and there is an idol displayed there. It said in Ezekiel 8 and 3, "And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by the lock of the head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God." So it appears to be a vision, but it says he took him to Jerusalem in this vision, to the door of the inner gate which looketh toward the north, where was, and here he says it, the seat of the image of jealousy. The seat of the image of jealousy. This is an idol that's been placed there on purpose for people when they walk there into this gate. This is God's gate. And they want people to know when you walk through this gate, this is what it represents. This is this image, this idol up here. And the Bible says, God said, it's the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And so this is something that God is against. Of course, God says there'll be no other gods before him. He says he's a jealous God. Why is he jealous? Because we're supposed to be his people. If you claim to be a child of God and he's your father, then he certainly will not allow you to go and call someone else your God. It'd be like my children calling some other man their dad, you know, going to somebody else and saying he's my dad when I'm their dad. And so God's the same way. It makes him very jealous when we want to try to devote our attention or do things to something else. And anything that you put between you and God becomes an idol. And God doesn't like that. And so just as we saw last week looking into witchcraft, and we saw that symbol that they use, it's called a pentacle. We saw that was a pentagram inside of a circle, and it was upside down. And just like we saw that, this image that's here above God's gate is something that indicates this is what we are doing here. Anytime you have a symbol or an image or some type of idol, what that is, that's referring to your beliefs. In other words, you're saying, this is what I hold beliefs to. The witches, this pinnacle, they say, that is our sign. This symbol represents what we believe. That symbol represents evil. It represents black magic. It represents things like that. And so when they take that symbol, they say, these are the things that we believe in. It's the same with any kind of image, such as this one that's been set up. So anytime you walk through that gate and you see that image, you say, well, I'm going through this gate, and that is my God. That's what I believe in. That's what I'm going to go to worship. And so it brought God to jealousy. That's why he's showing this to his man Ezekiel. Well, symbols in religions and cults, these groups such as we're talking about tonight, Satanism, Satanists, witches, Illuminati, Freemasonry, all these different groups like this, symbols are extremely important to them because each symbol represents something that they believe in. Now, I've got some things I want you all to hand out right there. I made plenty. Everybody can get one. Elizabeth, go ahead and give everybody one. These are some symbols I'm going to be referring to as we continue through here. These are symbols that are used in Satanism. Some of these you'll recognize. Some of these you may not have ever seen before. But these are symbols that's used. These are not all the symbols in Satanism. There's many more. But as I was saying, symbols are very important to any group like this. Especially the Satanists, these symbols mean a lot to them. The official Church of Satan, which, by the way, is real, it started in 1966. The year I was born, the Church of Satan was formed, and it's in California, and they practice Satanism. And they even have their own Bible, the Satanist Bible, the Bible of Satan. And so it was created by a man named Anton LaVey. Now, he copyrighted, if you look at that one symbol in there, the sigil of Baphomet. Do you see that one? It is, let me find it here. It's the third one down, the sigil of Baphomet. That is the official symbol of the Church of Satan. It's an inverted pentagram, and if you notice in the middle of it, there's a goat's head in the middle of it. Those little symbols going around the tips of the stars, there's five stars there. Each tip has a symbol. Each one of these symbols is Hebrew alphabet letters. In Hebrew, that's spelling out the name Leviathan, is what those little symbols mean. The Hebrew, that's what's in that outer circle. Now, as you see down there underneath it, there's another kind, another design, which they also use. They used it more in the past than they do now. But this one has two names in the middle of it, Samael and Lilith. And I'm going to talk about them in a minute, and we're not going to get into that quite yet. So try not to pay much attention to this handout quite yet. We're going to be looking at it more closely here in just a minute. But there in this symbol here of the sigil of Baphomet, the Satanist symbol, and by the way, it's copyrighted, and so I'm not allowed to even show it online or anything like that. That's why I didn't put it in a slide. They have copyrighted that symbol. And so you're not allowed to use it unless you want to pay them money. But it's an inverted pentagram. And notice the point of it's pointing downward toward hell, not toward heaven. This, of course, is in defiance of God. And that goat head's right there in the middle of it. That is the head of Baphomet, the goat. And we'll talk about him more in a minute. But the goat has always been a symbol of evil for a long time. It started probably with the Jewish ritual of the scapegoat. We all know that story. When you come to the temple for your sins, they have a one goat, and they have another goat. They use a scapegoat, and they put the blood on the scapegoat, and they drive it out of the camp and as far out into the wilderness, and it can never return. It's banished into the wilderness forever. Well, this goat become known as a symbol for Satan. So anytime anybody might have seen this goat out in the wilderness or they referred to it, well, they referred to it as the goat of Satan. And so this began, people started using it then, that so-called Satan worshipers began using the goat symbol as their symbol. It's another symbol for Satan. Now, back in 1307, during the Crusades, everybody knows the Knight Templars, right? The Knight Templars were there to protect the king and the Pope and all this. And in 1307, King Philip of France, during all these Crusades, he owed the Knight Templars money, and he didn't have the money to pay them back. And so what he did, he had them all arrested and put on trial and charged them with heresy and under great persecution. They took those Knight Templars in there, and they persecuted them, and they tortured them. And under torture, some of them made a profession that they'd been worshiping a godlike figure named Baphomet, which was the goat figure. Baphomet, I wish I'd brought a picture of it for you. Baphomet has a goat's head with these big horns. It's got this other thing sticking out of the top. It's got two breasts and arms that come out. It's an ugly thing. If you want to go on the internet and just type in Baphomet, you'll pull up that image. It's awful. But these Knight Templars were forced into professing that they were worshiping Baphomet. And so that symbol has become a sign or a symbol of anything of the occult, of paganism, of devil worshiping, witches. All these different groups like this uses the symbol of the goat and Baphomet. I use that word occult there. All these false religions we've been talking about, like witches and Satanism, we're going to be talking about later on Freemasonry, Illuminati, we're going to cover that as well. All these groups are considered occult groups. What the word occult means is knowledge of the hidden, or knowledge of the paranormal is what occult means. So anytime you hear somebody say, you know, it's the occult, it's these types of groups, or I hate to call them religions, but that's what they are. Satanism is an official religion. And so all these can be called the occult. And it refers to several groups. I've named many of them. There's witches and Wiccans, black magic, New Age, astrology, alchemy, fortune tellers, Scientology, Freemasonry, Illuminatis, Luciferianism. All these groups like that. And Luciferianism, that's a hard word to say for me, is much like Satanism, but just a little different. But one common trait that you're going to find in all these wicked groups like this, one trait you're going to find is they claim to have superior knowledge than the average person. So they believe what they're doing is on a higher level than all of us. Somebody told me and Mary one time, because we had a Christmas tree and they didn't believe in Christmas trees, that they were on a much higher level in their spiritual walk, is what they told us. Well, these groups like this, they believe they're on one of these higher levels of spiritual walking than everybody else, but they're walking in the spirit of Satan in this instance. And so this is a type of Gnosticism. And I've mentioned Gnosticism several times in our studies of different things. But the Gnostics, they believe they had this much greater understanding than everybody else. Paul had to deal with these. You'll see them mentioned in the New Testament. Gnosticism became very popular. It was also the Gnostics who are behind these new Bible versions, like the NIV, these versions like that. Gnosticism, the Gnostics were the ones that they got a lot of their text from. They had edited the text that they use in these Bibles. But these Gnostics, what that means, Gnosticism means having knowledge, is what that word means. They believed that the world was created by an evil god named the Demiurge, and that everybody else, all the other gods, were lower gods. They even call Christ a type of god, but lower and below the Demiurge. But the Demiurge was supposedly an evil god that created all the world, created the universe. And the only way that a person can be saved is if they have the knowledge, secret knowledge, that's revealed to them by the Demiurge, or by one of these types of groups like this. If you don't have this secret knowledge, then you're not saved. Now, for a Satanist considering being saved, they don't use that term. They're not looking to go to heaven by any means. They don't believe in that. They don't believe in heaven. And so when they're considered part of the group or something, then they have this inner knowledge. I watched a guy online. He made a YouTube video about how he came to know Lucifer. And he explained it all. He had some kind of aluminum foil he put in his hand and formed into a pan. He put some things in it and burned it while holding it. And he got on some kind of spiritual relationship with Lucifer. And this guy, he's dead serious. I mean, he was dead serious. And so these people, they believe they're receiving. He said in that video that he received knowledge that he'd never had before. It was revealed to him through Lucifer. And so these people, that's their mindset. Now, we're specifically speaking about Satanism tonight in this message. We'll cover some of these other groups in later on. But getting back to our text in Ezekiel 8, look down at verse 6. Verse 6, it says, "He said furthermore to me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall." Now, from all indications, this hole was not there on purpose. It was there. It was a place that he could peer in that these people obviously did not know about. And it from the way it's worded, it looks like this room has been covered over with something. And so he's having to dig. He's going to dig through the wall here. But he can see through a hole, and he peers in, and there's people in there doing things in secret. And he peers in. Look at verse 8. "Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here." So God instructs Ezekiel to dig a hole through this. So he starts at the hole that's in the wall, and he starts working his way through. I guess, I don't know if it's made out of mud or what it's made out of, but the wall is crumbling. He gets enough off, and it's at a door. There's a doorway there. And so God tells him, he said unto me, "Go in and behold the wicked abominations." I'll tell you what, that right there would be one scary thing to think you're going to go into this room. Because he's already looked in the hole and he sees what's going on in there. And now he's going to go in. And it's in the vision. But the Bible said that they were doing wicked abominations in there. Wicked abominations. That word abomination right there, it means a morally disgusting act, one that is abhorred and hated. It's a very powerful word that God uses in certain cases, and a lot of times it has to deal with idolatry, sexual perversion, wicked human behavior, things that are just inhuman, inhumane. And a lot of times abominations is used for these things. Abominations being committed in this secret room Ezekiel saw were very, very wicked, the Bible says. Look at verse 10. He said, "So I went in and saw and behold every form of creeping things and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." My goodness, Ezekiel's having to see some things in here. These are horrible things. He must have been sick over what he was seeing in there. But he sees these things there. He said they're on the wall, portrayed on the wall. These were probably every type of things you probably can't even imagine in your mind was on those walls. Now, we know they got these from the Egyptians. The Egyptians, the hieroglyphics that the Egyptians did where they portrayed all the different things. A lot of those were very sexually perverted. If you ever do the study on those, you'll find a lot of those are perverted things. But they also had portrayed images of animals, different types of animals. Oxen, dogs, apes, crocodiles, beetles, snakes, and the list goes on and on. The Egyptians worshipped all kinds of animals. One dominant animal that they worshipped was an owl. And we're going to talk about more about owls in just a minute. But here Ezekiel goes and he sees on the walls, and don't forget, this is in God's house. This is in God's house. This is in the temple. It'd be like us going downstairs in the Sunday school room and looking in one of the rooms and somebody had put all these nasty things all over the walls. And so, again, symbols are very important to these types of groups and false religions. I mentioned it already, but when I was doing research, I came across this forum of Satanists. And they were discussing back and forth their symbols. And they were very, very excited about their symbols and how important they were and wanting to make sure everything was right and perfect. And they were describing what each one meant and all the details of them and all this. They were very passionate about their symbols. Referring back to that page right there that were handed out. That first thing in there, the Satanic cross, also known as Leviathan's cross. And by the way, Leviathan is another predominant thing you're going to find in Satanism. Leviathan, of course, the Bible refers to. Over in Job 4 and 11 and Isaiah 27 and 1, talking about Leviathan. And it's a type of sea monster, perhaps a dragon, some type of, we would call it a prehistoric animal now. We don't know of them existing today, but the Bible mentions it about four times. And they always seem to be very, it refers to them as piercing serpent, crooked serpent, and a dragon, all in the Bible. And so Satanists, for some reason, that Leviathan is a powerful image for them. But this cross they have, the Leviathan's cross, it's a double cross sitting on top of an infinity sign, the infinity, the number 8. And that, of course, is the symbol for infinity. It goes on forever. And so what this, it represents an eternal universe is what the infinity sign means. And this was a mocking of the Lord Jesus' cross, the double cross right here. And it also is supposed to point out how humans are their own center of the balance and truth. In other words, everything these symbols represent are the opposite of what we think of when we think of God and Jesus Christ. They take the opposite of that and make it their own. That's their symbol that they use. And so the Satanists of today, they use this cross. It's probably the most popular cross that they have. Because all of them don't use the sigil of Baphomet because it is copyrighted. And so they use this cross mainly. And on down there in your paper there, that inverted pentagram, this is another very dominant sign in all these religions. The pentagram, this of course is defiance of God. But they claim, like I have in your paper, they claim the inverted pentagram, which is facing down to the ground instead of up to heaven, is facing toward hell. It represents independence, personal power, sexuality, and accomplishment. And again, it's a rejection of Christianity's dominance over society. And a reminder that you are in control of your own fate. That, again, that's one of those other things. That's one of those ideas of Gnosticism, that you have the abilities inside of you. That almost every false religion, they dwell on you, your abilities. Not God's abilities, not what Christ can do for you, but what you are able to do from your inner man, your inner self. And that Satanist, that's their main thing, is what they can do for their inner self. And of course, Satan being their type of God, or their, gives them the power to be able to do this, to connect with that inner power that they have. But this symbol, of course, is used in all kinds of things. We saw it used in the witches, the Wiccans. It's one of their symbols as well. We've already mentioned the sigil of Baphomet, the official symbol of the Church of Satan, and the inverted pentagram with the goat's head in the middle. The fourth one there, I put in your notes, there's two different designs, the most common without any words in the middle circle, and then this other one with Samael and Lilith included in them. Now, these are some interesting characters. These are mythological characters, of course, but they're from the Hebrew. Now, this is very disturbing if you study on this. And listen, when you're studying things like this, you need to be very careful. When you're studying things of Satanism and the dark things, it's very, how can I put this? You need to be very careful that you're doing it. And looking to the Lord to help you in it. Because you can open up a door to spiritual darkness. And it's very real. Friends, I believe that when we allow certain things in our lives, I'm not talking about just for studying purpose, but I'm talking people that will take certain things. Let me give you an example. A little image of a Buddha. I fully believe if you get a little image of a Buddha and you put it in your home, I believe that will cause some type of dark spirit in your home. I think that it causes problems. I believe it can introduce things of darkness. And I believe the same thing happens with when you're watching certain things that you ought not to be watching. I believe you're opening up a portal for wickedness into your home, especially into your own heart's door. And so you need to be very careful. But studying this, I kept praying for the Lord to help me with this and, you know, to protect us through these things, these symbols. I don't even like these symbols in my presence. I really don't. But I believe we need to know these things and understand what's going on out there. But Samael and Lilith, they're these perverted mythological characters. Lilith is supposedly the first wife of Adam. Now, what they say happened was that she defied Adam and left him and went and found this demon named Samael and had intercourse with this person, this demon. And so Samael and Lilith then were these two demons in this mythological characters. But this originated over in the Hebrew. Well, the story goes, like I said, Lilith was Adam's first wife and left him and had a relationship with this, and he was supposedly an archangel that turned into a demon, but his name was Samael. Lilith is known as the sexual demon of the night that steals babies. Now, you may wonder, why in the world, where did they come up with this from? Believe it or not, they used the Bible to come up with this perversion. Now, the myth originates from a passage of Scripture in Isaiah. It's describing the destruction of Edom. And here's what it says in Isaiah 34, 14 through 15. It says, "The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow, the screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate." Now, those words right there, screech owl, translated in Hebrew, it's the word Lilith. Lilith, which means a night monster, is what that means. So, I mentioned the owls. Over in ancient Egypt, they worshipped the owl. He was a creature of darkness. He was the night monster. And they worshipped this owl. You'll find owls portrayed in a lot of demonic things, in Satanist rituals. They'll have emblems of owls. I saw people getting tattoos of owls on their arms that were demonic owls. But the next symbol there, of course, is the one that we usually think of, an upside-down cross, an inverted cross. And that's probably the most used symbol through all the ages to show disrespect for Christ. Now, we know that Peter was requested to be crucified upside down, history tells us. That's not what this is. Peter was not trying to defy Christ. He was showing his honor for Christ when he did that. But what the Satanists do, these groups like this, they have an upside down cross to show they're in defiance to Christ. And it's sad, friends. It's really sad. That next symbol right there, the Eye of Horus. You may have seen this. It's very popular in today's culture in pop music. If you happen to flip your channel and they're having some kind of awards for rock music, and there's some... Here you go. At the Super Bowl, not 2 or 3 years ago, there's a performer on stage called Katy Perry. Now, she used to be a Christian. Her parents are Christian. They raised her in a Christian home. She renounced her Christianity and now dabbles in Satanism. One of the symbols that she used was the Eye of Horus. It's an Egyptian sky god who's depicted in a falcon, and the center of his right eye represents the sun god Ra. In that Super Bowl performance, Katy Perry had the Eye of Horus over her right eye during that performance. She also had all the other symbols that were, most of these symbols we're seeing here tonight, even the next one, the Eye of Providence, and pyramids. All these things are considered part of Satan rituals, satanic rituals. But the Eye of Horus, it's one of them. The Eye of Providence, or the All-Seeing Eye. Now, you're going to find this symbol used in a lot of different occult groups, not just Satanism. And if you have a dollar bill, if you open it up and look on the back, there it is. There is your all-seeing eye, the Eye of Providence. If you look up the history of the dollar bill and why these symbols are on there, they're going to have different reasons for why these symbols are on there. Most of the symbols on your dollar bill are Freemasonry, Illuminati symbols. And we're going to talk about these in a different lesson. But it's also used as a symbol, like I said, of Illuminati and Freemasonry. But the light around the eye represents their inner human abilities. Now, it is also used as a Christian symbol, believe it or not. A long time ago, a lot of Christians would use the all-seeing eye as a symbol for Christianity. And the light was supposed to be the light of Christ. And the center, the eye, was God's all-seeing eye. And that would have been a wonderful thing. But these groups like this, the occult, Satanists, they've used this for their own groups. And so they perverted these things. On down there, that next symbol, the sigil of Lucifer. This supposedly is a symbolic representation of the angel Lucifer. They claim that it's a symbol of freedom and independence. I didn't write down everything that it was supposed to represent, what all the things were. It's supposed to be wings up at the top of some type, but there was different things that involved. And then, of course, the very last one, the symbol of 666, the numbers. We know they take this from God's Word. It's the number of the beast. It is the number 6 is the number of man. He's one short of God. God's number is 7, is perfect. 7 represents completeness or perfectness. Well, the number 6, man is behind God, and so the number 6 has been given to man. Well, you put all three together, and the Bible says these are the number of the beast. Over in Revelation 13, 17 through 18, the Bible says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So the number 666. And that's associated, of course, with Satan himself, since this is dealing with the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet. All these, it's wickedness. And so Satanists use this 666. You may have seen part of Charles Manson's groups emblazoned 666 on their foreheads. This is why they were practicing Satanism, Charles Manson was a Satanist. And so you'll find all these occult groups like this. They focus on self. They focus on nature. They focus on anything that takes glory away from God is what their purpose is. All right, let's hurry along. Verse 11, back in our text. And there stood before them, I'm not going through all the verses, by the way. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Well, now Ezekiel looks, and in that room he finds 70 men of Israel all meeting in secret. These are supposed to be religious men. These are the men of old that would know better. And here they are meeting in secret, worshiping these false gods. Men of every tribe that's in there worshiping. And to beat it all, it mentions the son of Shaphan. Y'all remember Shaphan, right? Shaphan was the one that found the book in the rubble, the book of God. After the temple had been destroyed, and he looked down in the rubble, and behold, there was a book. And he took it to King Josiah, and they read the book. And what happened? Josiah decided he was going to overturn all the idolatry that his grandfather and his father had put there, Manasseh. All these things that were present in the temple in this day that Ezekiel saw was most likely put there by Manasseh, the evil king of Judah, of course. One of the worst. The Bible said he'd done more abominations than all the kings before him. And he brought in this idolatry. Well, these men were in that secret room worshiping their strange and wicked gods and even burning incense to them. By the way, incense is another big draw for occult groups, witches, Wiccan, Satanists. While God used incense in the temple services, he did. It was to represent our prayers and things going up to God. And the Satanists used it for a different reason. They say it helps them connect with their inner self. And so they burn the incense, and also the witches use it because they say you may be able to see demonic forms or paranormal things within the smoke of the incense. And so they use a lot of it. And they say that the smells of it also helps to intensify the ability to be able to connect with your inner self and connect with the other world, the realm of the other world. And so the sense, it's sense, smelling things does a lot to your perception. You can smell something and it will take you to some point in time in your life. That one scent will take you straight back there and you'll remember it clear as day. One smell of a piece of fried chicken and I'm right there. You know, but things, your senses, your smell, they enhance your ability to be able to remember, to think, to identify. And so they use incense, a lot of the Satanists and the witches. But what they're doing in this room, while they probably had images of Baal, and we know that they had all these wicked things, the Bible said, portrayed on the walls. They were practicing Satanism, is what they're doing. While it don't say Satanism, essentially all types of idolatry is Satanism. All types. And we know it began, of course, back in Babylon, right? Tower of Babel, when God scattered the language. Nimrod, that's the seed of idolatry. You can take Satanism right back to Babylon, the beginnings of it. So all false religions, all false worship, all these things like this results all the way back to Babylon, the beginning of idolatry. Verse 12 says, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." Now we see the true nature of their hearts right here. They think that God cannot see all their nasty deeds that they're doing. They believe if they get alone in a room in the dark and away from everybody and they're in secret, that even God's not going to see them there. But God sees all. God truly does have the all-seeing eye. There's no place you can escape God, even in the depths of hell. David said, the psalmist said, you're there. If I lay my bed down in hell, you're there. And so there's no escaping God's all-seeing eye. But these people are in there doing things in secret, and that's what these groups do. They do things in secret. They're not going to meet in a building like we have and post their hours on the sign and advertise on Facebook or the internet and say, hey, you know, come to Highland Baptist. No, they're not going to do that. They're meeting in secret places. They have their signs. They have their abilities to reach other people that's interested in these things. They have places in the dark web where people search and they find meeting places. Here in Knoxville, Tennessee, they can search the deep web and they can find where the Satanists meet. And they'll meet in their little secret places in the dark, in secret, and they'll perform their rituals. But listen, friends, they're not going to get by with it forever. Because there'll be a day of retribution. There'll be a day when God will have enough. And listen, God, just like God directed Ezekiel to this hole in the wall, that hole in the wall revealed the wickedness of their hearts. It revealed the abominations that were going on. That hole revealed their evil and vile thoughts, even the intents of their minds and their hearts. Friends, nothing is hidden from God. We're all naked in his eyes. You may or may not have ever run into a Satanist. You wouldn't know. They're not going to introduce themselves and say, "Hi, I'm a Satanist." Yeah. We may say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," you know, or "Where do you go to church?" A Satanist is never going to come to you and say, "Hey, I'm a Satanist. Come worship with me." Yeah. They're not going to do that. But they're all around. And just like these men in Ezekiel's visions, they do their dirty deeds in secret. Now, with tomorrow being Halloween, just like I mentioned with the witches, it's their high Sabbath. Tomorrow is the day the Satanists are going to get together. They're going to have some type of worship service. They're going to meet in the dark. They're going to do some awful, vile, disgusting things. They're going to make some kind of sacrifice, whether it's animal or human. There'll be a sacrifice made. There'll be blood drained. There'll be blood drank. They'll be worshiping to Satan. They'll be chanting. They'll be humming. They'll be saying prayers to Lucifer. This will go on tomorrow. You guarantee it. It's their biggest day of the year. Now, we as Christians, we can look at them and say, "That's awful," you know, and think everything we want to think about them. But listen, they are lost. They're bound for hell. And while they may think that they love Satan, it will take less than a fraction of a second when their feet hit those flames of hell to realize they were wrong. Satan's not their God. No, friends. Satan hates them as much as he hates you and me. And they'll realize that one day unless they come to know the Lord as their Savior. So we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. And we need to share the gospel. You don't know the next person you share the gospel with. Maybe dabbling in something like this. A lot of teenagers get involved in these types of things when they're trying to find their place in life. They don't think people understand them. They're looking for some kind of something in their life. And they'll look to things like this because it's different. It gets attention. Other people that's involved in it are their friends then. And so it's something that you have to watch out for. And it's an awful, horrible thing. All right. Well, that's the message for tonight. And